Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has so much to say to His people. He loves His people. He loves each of us, knows every man on earth by name and their ancestors, and I thank God for that. He cares about us personally. And in relationship, when you love someone, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how is love measured in heaven? In heaven, it's measured by what you'll do for a person. I'll say that again. Love is measured by what you do for a person. See, for God so loved the world, everybody in it, the whole planet, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him will be saved, will receive everlasting life. That's love. You know, the Lord loves us. He's dedicated to His love for us. He's dedicated enough to fulfill His love towards us. Love is fulfilled when, you know, when you love somebody, you fulfill something. You do something for a person. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And His Son so loved the world that He laid His life down for us. And whosoever believe in Him will have everlasting life. And they won't perish. And that's the way it is. See, God, He thinks of everything. And He's thoroughly committed to the love, the God kind of love, that agape love of Jesus. So, when we have that inside, then the Lord can do something. He don't want us to perish. He wants us to have everlasting life. See, when you have everlasting life, whatever you didn't understand on earth, and the poor choices you made, or the good choices you made on earth, when you're in the kingdom, when you are in heaven, you know, like I almost said the kingdom of God, but see, the kingdom of God is already here. But when you're with God, after this life is over and you've done the will of God, there's going to be, people are going to live because of it. And God will even reward you for all of the efforts you did that was right. Everything you did in love, you're going to get rewarded for it. But that's not the only motive. The motive is saving lives. And whatever you didn't measure up to or didn't get quite right, you have everlasting life to learn and to do better. But a man that goes to hell, a man that perishes, he goes to hell, he never has a chance to make things right. He don't own his life anymore. You know, when people go to hell, they're not in control anymore. Hell owns them. They can't get out. They know that a better place exists, and they have no access to it. And everybody they caused to be there are also there trapped as well, and they don't like it. And then if you're a parent and you put negative things in motion, you know, you made it harder for your children to go to heaven. You put hurdles before them. So God loves us. Everything we do is important in Christ. Everything we do for the Lord is very important. And the way we serve man is the way we serve God. Very important. Our dedication is very important. We must be, when you have the love of God in you, you also have the dedication of God in you. And when it's time to make a sober decision, you're ready to do so. When it's time to make a healing decision, you're ready to do so. When it's time to help somebody, you're ready to go. You're ready to do so. The love of God wants to do something. That's why Jesus in chapter 22, He said, the church say come. In Revelation, the church say come. Because they are an extension of Him. They share His love. Everybody that share the love of God, they want to do something. Some people don't know what to do. They don't. They never preach. They don't know how to preach. But they want to contribute. So when they listen to preaching, they love it. They encourage people to listen. They repeat what they hear. They pay tithes and offerings. And they do things to assist those that do preach the word, because their heart is good. And when you love people, that's noticeable. And it causes people to see a better way of life. Now the enemy is the opposite. He's trying to tear down life. He's trying to kill, steal, destroy, stop the flow of life. But as we go forward in the Lord, we want to do something. We want what's right. I told a friend of mine years ago, no man can live beyond his vision. Just like no soldier can fight beyond his dedication. See, when Elisha told, I think it was King Jehoram, to shoot the arrows at the ground, open the window and shoot. He was dying, you know, Elisha was. And the king shot three arrows into the ground, and Elisha got upset. He said, you should have shot five or six times. You would have destroyed Syria. But now you'll only have three victories against Syria. See, no man can fight beyond his dedication. This is why the word said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The love of the world is enmity with God. You can't fight the world if you love it. Now, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the system. I'm talking about the system of the world. You can't win against the system of the world if you happen to love the world. But if you love God, you'll be thoroughly committed to Him, and you'll be able to do what Jesus does. Everything Jesus is doing, you want in on it. You want to do it too. Everything that the apostle stood for, you stand for it too. See, it can't be separated. The way we love God is the way we love man. And because we love God, we want to be a blessing to man. See, the love of God gave my life purpose. And I have one of those hard jobs. You know, I'm an auto mechanic. When you're an auto mechanic, you are, all right. People used to fix their own cars, so there's a culture that believes that auto mechanic labor is cheap. But see, now you're not just a mechanic, you're a technician. You have to know so many systems, and you have to understand them. And then you have the factories. They don't give you information about what they design. And they designed every car a little bit different. And sometimes if you don't know what they did, you're used to one type of automobile or one era of automobile, like cars made in the 90s, they're different from cars made in the 80s. Which are different from cars made in the 70s, which are much different from cars made in the 60s. But here in the 2000s, and the mid-2000s, and the 2020s, it's a different animal. So they hold information back. And when they make a wiring harness, they make a wiring harness for the factory technicians. Then they make another one with stuff missing for the libraries. They want to be paid for their, every factory wants to be paid for their information, which is legal. It's not wrong. But it puts the mechanic that's a general mechanic in a bind, because everything's so varied. So years ago, You can imagine the difficulty you run into. So you run into difficulty, and it don't go away and it don't stop. But when I learned to love man, it gave my life purpose, and I was able to serve man with a skill. And when I had the years I worked a job, I worked as unto God. That gave my life purpose. That gave the hardship purpose. And then I became good at figuring out what to do. And I came to a point where I could adapt. And I started knowing what to watch out for. When I didn't know what the factory did, I could figure it out. And I had to do research. So we have to understand, just because some things are, you know, you may be doing a job that's not easy or a job that you don't like. But when you find a way to be a blessing to people, that gives your whole life purpose, good purpose. And I was able to be a blessing to people. That, I love it, you know. See, God thinks of everything. He wants us to know what he does. He wants us to understand. See, listen to what John said. This is St. John. Not St. John, but 1 John. Chapter 2 and 15. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, you can't have it both ways. If you love God, you'll hate the world system. That's called holy hatred. But if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not there. Because you, how can you love something opposite of God? The world system is opposite to God. That's why when I watch movies, TV, you know, songs, hear things, entertainment, if it's the opposite of God, I don't want to like it. Things that are opposite to God, I don't want to desire it. Everything that's not like God got to go. Everything that's not like the love of Jesus, it's got to go. Now, when I watch war movies, it helps you to see what other people suffer to give you freedom. And there are so many wars all throughout the Old Testament because we were born in a war. And our whole life is a war. You try to do good, then the enemy's there to hinder you. This is why Paul wrote chapter 7. He's trying to appeal to your old desires. He's trying to appeal to the ways of your mind that's not renewed. He's trying to appeal to the desires of your flesh that's not mature in Jesus. But see, your heart wants to do something right. The spirit of man wants God. When people get born again, they don't want the world anymore. From there, they, in order to be born of God, like John wrote in chapter 3. See, chapter 3, he talks about being born of God. When you're born of God, you can't sin. How about that? Doesn't that give you hope? Whosoever is born of God, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for a seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. And I've been teaching this more than I usually do because many times people say, well, born of God is the same as born again, but it's not. It's just it's different. Being born of again, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he can't see the Father. So you can't, if you're born again, you've entered into life, but your skill set has to grow. All right. When Christ is formed in you, then you become born of God. I got two examples. See, sometimes people don't look at the obvious. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You escaped it. Okay, now you can be partakers of the divine nature. So if the divine nature is formed in you, how can you go and sin? Because the love of God is a law of itself. You escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You broke through the barriers that held you back. With the love of God, you have power, and there's no way in the world you're going to want to go back and eat dog vomit. You don't want to go back to dog vomit. You know it's corrupt. It's embarrassing. It's evil. But guess what? Some people will do it and reject the Holy Spirit and everything that he stands for, to live a life of corruption. And then they want to say it's all right, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They had, you know, you can't serve God with a double heart. We just proved that. If you love the world, you can't love the Father. If you love the Father, you can't love the world. If you purely love the Father. He said, and beside this, now watch, pay attention to the wording. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness. To godliness brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. Now watch verse 8. This is the key scripture I want to use for now. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. He's all right with his old sins again, so he forgot that he was purged from them, and he wants to say, well, God don't care. I've heard people do that, but they're wrong. Then he said this, wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, watch this, watch, wait for it, here it is, ye shall never fall. There's a word right there called never. And right behind it is fall. See, he who's born of God, he can't sin. He said, add to your faith. You know, I always add this little nugget here, verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Virtue, and to virtue knowledge. What is virtue? The dictionary means years ago, it didn't seem to jive. So I kept wanting to know, looking up virtue. I looked it up in the Webster Dictionary, looked it up in the Hebrew Dictionary, Greek Dictionary. I still wasn't satisfied, so I took the matter to the Supreme Holy Ghost Court. I said, Lord, what is your definition of virtue? And the Lord spoke to me and said, it is the amount of my word in your heart. Hey. You take the word in your heart, that's virtue to you. That's better than every other meaning. That fits, because when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he felt virtue go out of him. He felt the word of God doing something. He felt the power of the word of God leaving him to heal others. That's how it is when people draw from your anointing. You feel it. When people are hungry, they activate the anointing on you, and the Holy Spirit calls you to speak beyond your intelligence, beyond your years, things you can't come up with. See, they draw from that word bank that you bothered to put in your heart. And the Lord will assemble he will, because there's a need right now and somebody wants it and they love God and they're in faith. He'll cause you to say what fits. And when that happens for others, and I'm aware of it, what happens for me is I get a chance to see something I never did. And I ask the Lord to teach me. That's how it was when I was doing a broadcast. I forgot how long ago now, but the Lord calls me to say that you have to receive the word, then believe the word. It was word to some, and then I said, wait a minute, I always thought you believe first. But it sounded like the Holy Spirit had me saying you receive the word, then you believe the word, then you act on it, and it becomes faith. So I asked my pastor, I said, what's first? Now, he's a Rhema graduate. I respect all Rhema graduates. I took some classes. I took class, correspondent classes from Rhema. And I made it. I didn't finish yet. But because I had to write a book and I had a lot of things happen, I just didn't finish. My first year being retired, I said, well, I have time, but I work more now than I did before. Nevertheless, he's a Rhema graduate. I said, Pastor, what comes first, believing or receiving? He thought a minute. He said, just like I did. The same expression that he gave was what I gave when the Holy Spirit had me say that. I said, I was doing a broadcast, and it seemed like the Lord put receiving before believing. He said, that's right. You have believing it, receiving it. You have to receive before you believe. So here it is. I thank God for things like that. I love Holy Ghost interaction. I want to show you another one. Now, the point being was verse 8 proves, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, and then verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, everything listed from verse 5 to verse 8, if you do these things, you shall never fall. And then verse 9 is the opposite of that. But if you lack these things, see, let's say you did some of these things, all right? Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Okay, so you added virtue, and because you did so, knowledge. All right, now that you got knowledge, if you don't have temperance, and you have a mind to show off because of pride, for pride reasons, remember, Paul said, do nothing for vainglory. But you do. You end up using your knowledge to show off. And when people are trying to make a point, you try to overtalk them. You lack temperance and you lack patience. Okay, this is going to cause verse 9 to come to play. If you lack these things, he that lacketh these things is blind. You can't see the damage you're doing. You can't see afar off. You're focused on this. If I say this right now, I'll look good before the eyes of men. And then you offend people. And you can't tell. And it becomes a pattern, a way of life. Before you know it, you're blind. And then you forget to love others. You forget to include others. It just snowballs. And before you know it, you're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. You're without covenant. You got into sin, and you can't tell. And you think it's all, whatever you're doing is all right with God. You know, dogs, you know, whatever they do, they think it's all right. I love dogs. I love them. They're sweet animals. They will lick their bottom and lick your face. It's just the way it is. But see, when you and they don't mean any harm, just like people, you know, when you start, let's pick another one up. Okay, let's say, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance patience. But then you slack on godliness. Did you know a person can start growing and then start lusting after other things? Or being greedy? Or being lustful, God forbid? Or drift into forms of pride? Or let's say okay, you're going to go right back to verse 9. Okay, now let's go all the way up. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge temperance patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. So you're kind. You mastered that. But then here's charity. To brotherly kindness, charity. When it's time to help others, ooh, I don't want to get my hands dirty. When it's time to release the anointing to be a blessing, well, I got to go. My wife wants me at home. You never will learn. You know, you're not putting things in motion. You start quenching the Holy Spirit. You're preaching the Word of God, but when it's time to say something that Jesus needs, and it's a challenge to the status quo, well, I don't want to offend people, or I don't want to get kicked out of the organization, so I'll just stick to the bylaws. See, there you go. You're not going forward. This is the reason people fall, folks. You got brotherly kindness, you care about people, but when it's time to share that information that's vital, you stall out. When it's time to get your hands dirty, you stall out. When it's time to labor with those that are weak, you stall out. You have to continue. See, all of these things, if they be in you, you need every element. You already have the measure of faith. My pastor taught me that. I love getting a good understanding. And I love being around godly people, godly pastors. God got some wonderful, beautiful pastors out there with a heart the size of a Cadillac. So I love being around people like that. I'm not one of these crazy apostles that don't have a pastor or don't. See, God has a function. Whoever God give you, that's a gift to you. My pastor is a gift to me. And Pastor Jim McCain III is a gift. And all the other pastors I know of, they were gifts too. I've been blessed by some great men of God. But in 2006, the Lord sent me to Victor Christian Fellowship. His son's the pastor now, and guess what? He's a gift too. That's how I see. That's the love of God. That's how it is. And I want to be a gift to them. Hey, that's how it is. So when you have the elements here, this is how you become Christ-like. This is the path to being born again. I mean, this is the path to, if you're born again, to become born of God. Being born again and being born of God is two different things. But it can become, as you have to mature, so being born again can come up to the point of being born of God. It's just like the man that finishes college versus the man that drops out of high school. If you drop out somewhere, all right, beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge. You need every element to be secure and never fall. To knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. If you do all of these, you can't fall, folks. You're born of God if you do verses 5 through 7. If these things be in you and abound, that's the only other element abounding. They got to be in you and increase. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lack these things, you're blind. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off. He can't see his condition, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the other brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. There's another one, Ephesians 4. Now, Ephesians 4 is the brother to this. And there are others, too. He said, here is it. All right. Oh, here it is. Verse 13. But I have to come up to it, see. It said, wherefore, he said, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Talking about Jesus, nobody did that but Jesus. Nobody will ever do that but Jesus. Verse 9. Now, as he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, pastors and teachers. Now watch this. For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting. There's a peculiar word right there in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch this part here. Here's the brother scripture to 2 Peter. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now you're born of God. Here it is again. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And to do this, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. See, to be born of God, you got to have a ready and open heart to the word of God, and also a ready and open heart that rejects darkness. And see, when you have the love of God in you, you can fight like God in you. When you have the love of God in you, you can fight like the Holy Ghost in you. You can fight like God in you because you'll yield to him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory and stay in covenant.